is this, my God, that leadeth me? He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follow I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follow I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when... Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 20. As we continue our study, call to faithfulness, part 4. One thought toward thy neighbor. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thomas Watson, he observed well when he said, the tongue, which at first was made to be an organ of God's praise, has now become an instrument of unrighteousness. This commandment binds the tongue to its good behavior. God has set two natural fences to keep in the tongue, the thief and the lips. And this commandment is a third fence set about it, that it should not break forth into evil. It has a prohibitory and a mandatory part. The first is set down in plain words. The other is clearly implied. The prohibitory part of the commandment, or what it forbids in general. Well, what does it forbid? It forbids anything which may tend to the disparagement or harm of our neighbor. More particularly, two things are hidden, forbidden in this commandment. The slander. This is a sin against the ninth commandment. The scorpion carries his poison in his tail. The slanderer carries his poison in his tongue. Slandering is to report things of others unjustly. Psalm 35, verse 1. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. Romans 3, verse 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Let us do evil that good may come. Can good come when we do evil? The scripture calls slandering smiting with the tongue. Come, let us smite him with the tongue. Jeremiah 18, verse 8. Come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. You may smite another and never touch him. The tongue inflicts greater wounds than the sword, says Augustine. No physician can heal the wounds of the tongue. To pretend friendship to a man and to slander him is most odious, as it is a sin against this commandment to raise a false report of another, and so is to receive a false report before we examine it. Psalm 15, verse 1 to 3 says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. We must not only raise a false report, but refuse to hear it. He who raises a slander carries the evil in his tongue. He who receives a slander carries the evil in his ear. Slander, the second, lying. Here, three sins are condemned. Speaking that which is false, witnessing that which is false, and swearing to that which is false. That which is condemned in the commandment is speaking that which is false. False, lying lips are abomination to the Lord. To lie is to speak that which one knows to be an untruth. There's nothing more contrary to God than a lie. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Error. Lying is a sin which does not go alone. It ushers in other sins. Absalom told his father a lie when he said that he was going to pay his vow at Hebron. That was a preface to his treason. 2 Samuel 15, verse 7. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vows, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. Acts 5, verse 3. When Peter pointed out the lie of Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Lying is a sin which unfits men for civil society. How can you converse or bargain with a man when you cannot trust a word he says? This sin highly provokes God. Ananias and Sapphira were struck dead for telling a lie. Acts 5 verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these words. The furnace of hell is heated for liars. Revelation 22, verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So here the Lord says, abhor this sin. Consider your every word and oath, Jerome says. When you speak, let your word be as authentic as your oath. Imitate God, who is the pattern of truth. And Pythagoras, the mathematician, being asked, what made men like God? Answered, when they speak the truth. The character of a man who shall go to heaven is that he speaks the truth in his heart. Psalm 15, verse 2. And so, the Lord tells us this commandment condemned speaking that which is false. And this commandment also condemned witnessing that which is false. You shall be bear false witness. And to bear false witness has a twofold implication. Bearing false witness for another, as when we give our testimony for a person who is criminal or guilty and we justify him as if he were innocent. Isaiah 5 verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. He who seeks to acquit a wicked man makes himself unjust. It is bearing false witness against another when we accuse him in open court falsely. This is to imitate the devil. Who is the accuser of the brethren? The Though the devil is no adulterer, yet he is a false witness, observes Thomas Watson. And Solomon likewise says in Proverbs 25, verse 18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. In his face, he's hardened like a club. He cannot blush. He cares not what lie he witnesses to. He's a sword. His tongue is a sword to wound the person he witnesses against in his goods or life. And that was what happened when the king Ahab tried to take away the vineyard of the man called Naboth. And there came in two men, children of Belial, set before him. The man of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. What a frightening thing. Naboth's blood must have cried out for justice. The queen of Persia is sick, being sick. The magicians accuse two godly virgins of having, by charms, procured the queen's sickness, whereupon she caused those virgins to be sawn asunder. A false witness perverts all justice. He corrupts the judge by making him pronounce a wrong sentence and causes the innocent to suffer. Vengeance will find out the false witness. Proverbs 19 verse 5 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. Deuteronomy 19 verses 18 to 19. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. He was trying to have the innocent person put to death. His own life shall be taken away. That which is condemned in this commandment is swearing to what is false. When a man taketh a false oath, by that taketh away the life of another. Zechariah 8 verse 17. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. All these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. The Scythians made a law that when a man bound together with a lie, with an oath, he was to lose his head, because these sins took away all truth and faith from among men. The devil has taken great possession of those who dare swear to a lie. The Church of Rome is reproved, which approves of a lie or false oath if it promotes the Catholic cause. It approves of an officious lie and holds some sins to be lawful. God has no need of our lie. It is not lawful to tell a lie for the glory of God, even if we are sure to bring glory to God by it, Augustine rightly pointed out. They are reproved, which make no conscience of slandering others. Psalm 20, verse 50, verse 20. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thou slanderest against thy own mother's son. Paul, the apostle, was slandered as a mover of sedition and the head of a faction. Acts 24, verse 5. For I found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. The same word, both a slanderer and a devil, a Nazarene, because he was promoting Jesus of Nazareth to be the savior of the world. First Timothy 3:11. Even so, their wives be grave and not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Some think it is no great matter to misrepresent or to slander others, but it is an act. It is to act the part of a devil, clipping a man's credit to make it weigh lighter is worse than clipping coin. The slanderer wounds three at once. He wounds him who is slandered. He wounds him to whom he reports the slander by causing uncharitable thoughts to rise up in his mind against the party slandered. And he wounds his own soul by reporting of another what is false. This is a great sin. And Thomas Watson point out, and I wish I could say it is not common. You may kill a man in his name as well as in his person. Some are reluctant to take away their neighbor's goods. Conscience would fly in their face, but better take away their corn out of their field, their wares out of their shop, than to take away their good name. This is a sin for which no reparation can be made, a blot in a man's name, being like a blot on white paper, which will never be gotten out. Surely God will punish this sin. If idle words should be accounted for, should not unjust slanderers. The Lord will make inquisition one day, as well for names as for blood. Deuteronomy 22 verse 19. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil upon a virgin of Israel. She shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. And is this not a greater sin than to defame a saint who is a member of Christ? Third, they are reproved who are so wicked as to bear false witness against others. Here, they speak in an evil way. 2 Kings 9:33 says, throw her down, that was Jezebel, who instigated for the man Naboth to be killed. Innocent blood spilled. But God was there to see. And so this was the judgment for Jezebel. Throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. Let us tremble at this sin. A perjured person is the devil's excrement, Thomas Watson rightly pointed out. He is cursed in his name and seared in his conscience. Hell gapes for such a windfall. God shows us how important it is that we guard our neighbor's reputation by speaking the truth. May God be merciful to help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us. Grant to us thy joy and peace to obey thy commandment. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.